Hello, everyone. It has been a busy week here at Trinity behind the scenes as we have been preparing for the Christmas season ahead of us and what that's going to look like with just all the weirdness and craziness that is going on. And so I was not able to get, as I love to do, to have someone welcome you and someone from our church family pray and read scripture. So you just have me. It's a hard deal, but got God's word. That's really what we're here about. So I am Pastor Ethan. It is Sunday, November the 22nd, 2020. This is Trinity Online, and thank you once again for joining us. We're going to start today, friends, by acknowledging something that I think I could accurately say is painfully obvious. Something that I know you've been thinking about, maybe you've been talking to other people about. Now, I was on a conference call this week with a group of other pastors, actually, that with the pastors that share the congregations that cooperatively share and use the Beaver Creek Chapel, where I know many of you worship when you are here in town with us. And we are, again, going over our plans for the Christmas Eve dynamics. And at one point in the conversation, a friend of mine just referred to these times in which we're in as being these extremely difficult and unprecedented times. And I'm sure you've heard many people use that description as of late. You know, people can debate whether or not these times actually are unprecedented in their difficulty. And really, historically speaking, they are not. But there's no question that they are unprecedented for us. You know, however life right now is impacting you, there was one reality, wherever it is on the continuum of life, there's one reality we all share, and it's that we are people who are experiencing loss. Let me just push into that for a moment. You know, on the extreme side of that scale, there are people who have experienced loss of life, right? Lost of the life of loved ones, be it through COVID or otherwise. Many have experienced loss of health temporarily, or maybe in an extended way, again, COVID or otherwise. You know, we have as a nation, as a people, we are experiencing a loss of freedom. And some of you maybe out there may say, you know, Ethan, the whole loss of freedom thing is just way overblown. You know, we are not losing our freedom for what we're gaining by being careful and safe. And I want to get off in the weeds in this, and I would say, yeah, there's validity to that. But there are also people who would caution us that the loss of freedom should be really, really high on the list of things that we need to be concerned about. And that when we as a free people surrender freedoms to our governing authorities, even if for the reason of a either real or perceived sense of safety, that needs to be done with great caution and continuously examined. You know, this is something I care about, obviously. I don't want to get off in the weeds on this, but we've experienced a loss of freedom. You know, with our politics in our country right now, a loss of civility. Maybe you've experienced a loss of friends, friendship over these last months because of the political dynamics that we're in. You know, we have experienced the loss of things that we've worked for, or things that are special and important to us, financial loss, business loss. Right, just the loss of, on the not so extreme side, but very real side of the scale, you know, the loss of things we like to do, right? Things that give us joy. For many, there's a loss of security. But maybe the most difficult, I heard a radio commentator speaking to this the other day about the loss of certainty, right? The loss of any sense of control. And my friends, because of this, many people are experiencing a loss of hope, depression, mental illness, and suicide. It's a very sensitive topic, one that we need to be more honest about. And our society is becoming more honest about. But just here in our own valley, in just the recent days, there has been a big spike in the incidence of suicide here, right in the beautiful mountains of Vail, Colorado. And friends, in the midst of all of this, people are crying out, right? We are hungering for some cure to this situation, right? Something to give us hope to hold on to. You know, here in Eagle County, a very positive thing I'll say about this valley that I love is that lots of people here are working on issues of mental and emotional health. And hopefully that's the case in your home community as well. And this is good. It is essential. You know, also many people are looking for ways to bring hope, to bring help to others who need it. That's a wonderful thing. You know, there's just been the big headlines in the news as of late is the potential for a vaccine for the COVID pandemic, you know, a medical answer. And we want this, right? I desire that. Because here's the thing. These solutions, they are not guaranteed. They may be a source of hope, and it is wonderful that people are working toward them, but they're not a certainty. However, as followers of Christ, we would assert that there is a certain source of hope, right? There is an antidote to the uncertainty, to the difficulty, and just to the reality of all of this loss. And that antidote isn't a matter of medicine. It is a matter of faith. Specifically, faith in Jesus, right? In the good news, the hope, the freedom, the power, the reality of new life in Christ. And my friends, we are right to say that, to proclaim it. Scripture does unapologetically proclaim the promise of fullness, hope, and freedom, and that these things are not contingent upon positive circumstances. In fact, sometimes quite the opposite. You know, Jesus summed this up in the statement we find in John 16, verse 33, when Jesus said this, "I have told you all these things so that in me you may have peace." Now, in this world, make no mistake, in this world you are going to have trouble, but take heart. For I have overcome the world. Friends, if you've heard me speak or watch any of these videos, you've probably heard me quote that scripture. It's just so real. I mean, Jesus says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace." Now, don't misunderstand me. You're not going to have peaceful circumstances, or you're going to have many circumstances that are not peaceful, but in me you may have peace, for I have overcome the world. You know, Scripture proclaims that in Christ there is a peace that passes understanding, right, that will guard our hearts and our minds, right, that in the midst of a frail and deteriorating world that we don't have to lose heart when we set our minds on that which is true, true of God, and in Christ that which is true of us. You know, going all the way back into the Old Testament, there's a powerful statement that we find in Psalm 118. It's verses 5 and 6, of course, part of a larger context of all of Psalm 118. But in verses 5 and 6, it says this, and I'm reading here from the NASB, from the New American Standard Bible. And we read, "From my distress," some translations say anguish, "from my distress I called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered and placed me in an open space. For the Lord is for me, I will not fear. So what can man do to me?" You know, the image there again of distress, it's reminiscent of what we see in the 23rd Psalm of being in the valley of the shadow of death. And the picture in Psalm 18 is of God picking us up from just a place in life where it feels that everything is closing in on us, and bringing us to a place that is wide, that is open, where there are no shadows, where we may be free, a place of peace. In fact, the ESV, the English Standard Version, translates it this way, "Out of my distress I called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered and set me free. For the Lord is on my side. He is for me. He is with me. And so I will not fear. For what can man," and I would parenthetically add, "what can this world do to me?" Friends, that is a powerful truth. But here's the question. What does that look like? Right? How is it experienced in the nitty-gritty, just the sheer fatiguing reality of life as it is right now? You know, actually, Scripture gives us many answers to that question. But today, we're going to look at just one. And it's this. My friends, in Christ, we are in fact renewed day by day. We are able to live in courage, in hope, in peace as we receive and put into practice the great gift of gratitude. Of gratitude. Now, of course, you saw that coming a mile away, right? This Thursday is Thanksgiving. Although for many, it's going to be a very different Thanksgiving from what we've experienced in the past. But friends, even if we didn't have a national holiday called Thanksgiving, where we hopefully do take time to be thankful rather than just eating a lot, even if we didn't have this focus this week, friends, now more than ever, at least for our time, our generation, we need to be people of gratitude, right? This isn't just some spiritual coping mechanism, mind you. This is a command of God. I just want to point you to two passages of Scripture that speak to this. Both of them are very famous. I'm sure that you know them. You might know them by heart. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, Paul writes, and he says, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. And give thanks in all circumstances." Of course, it doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances, but give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will. It is God's desire. It is His plan for you in Christ Jesus. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, an even more famous passage where again Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord," when? "Always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. So do not be anxious about anything," right? "Fear not, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving," with gratitude, "present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And of course, I quoted part of that scripture just a moment ago. And anytime I read from Philippians 4 here, I just have to share something my father shared with me years ago. We were talking about this passage, and I think he shared something a pastor had shared with him years before that. And so when you look at that whole passage, it's of note what is not there. It doesn't say present all of your requests to God, and when God answers your prayer, ask you as you have asked them, then the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. No, it's not the answering of the prayers or the change in circumstance that we ask God to do for us that yields peace. Rather, it is a mindset that trusts God with tomorrow. It is a mindset, it is a heart that brings everything to God and say, "God, here it is. Lord, this is what I think needs to happen. Lord, this is the cry of my heart in this circumstance. But Lord, I trust you with it more than I trust my own perspective upon it." And friends, when we come to Christ increasingly with that attitude, we will know and experience His peace and the peace of God, which is beyond our own ability to comprehend, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Gratitude. But friends, here's a question. Why is gratitude so important? Why is thanksgiving, this thankful heart, so important to God? Friends, one reason, maybe the most important reason, all right, is that gratitude, the choice of thanksgiving, the choice to cultivate a perspective of gratitude, friends, it takes the focus off of ourself. When I choose to cultivate gratitude, even as a sheer step of faith, I am taking the focus off of myself. You see, here's the reality. Friends, a core characteristic of what the New Testament calls our flesh, we talk about that a lot, okay? The flesh is, maybe just to sum that up, these are the patterns of our old human nature apart from Christ. It's what we're doing when we endeavor to live life with us at the center rather than Christ at the center. Right, a core characteristic of our flesh is to see things first and foremost through the lens of self. right? To see life by how it is impacting me, right? My needs, my plans, maybe my loss, my pain, right? My injustice, right? What's not fair to me, right? What has offended me? The things that frustrate me, 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 me. And friends, the thing is, focusing on ourselves, just if that's where our eyes are, that is a quick path to emotional and spiritual paralysis, not to mention relational dysfunction and just sheer unhappiness and worse. But, friends, when we choose to see life through the lens of gratitude, it takes our eyes off of self so that we can begin to see some things that we really need to see. Now, let's just walk through this for a second. Friends, when we take our eyes off of self, it tends to put our own situation in perspective. Right? You've heard some of the classic examples of this, right? And if I poke on you, guys, here, it's because I'm poking on myself. You know, somebody may see, you know, just all this COVID stuff. I hate being stuck in my house. To which the homeless person replies, you have a house? You know, I may say my work is so stressful right now. To which the unemployed person says, well, you have a job? And not to get really personal here, because this I'm preaching to myself with this one, right? I hate wearing a mask in church. To which the persecuted believer in one of many countries where there is no religious freedom may reply, wait, you get to go to church? Friends, gratitude, taking our eyes off ourselves, it places our own situation in perspective. And that is a corrective that we very often need. Also, taking our eyes off of self, it helps us to see the needs of others, which of course leads us to service, but makes us thankful. Taking our eyes off of self as well, just simply put, it is a powerful antidote to self-pity, medicine that we often need. And friends, when we take our eyes off of ourself, it opens our eyes to see the goodness of God. It is a lead-in to worship. Guys, I just want to take a minute here to be really honest about this, though. There are times when our loss, our struggles, right, the things that are causing us pain and fear can be so intense that they just drown out and cover up everything else, right? What about then? What about when I look around, right? I'm taking my eyes off myself and just, I'm really doing my best to honestly assess my circumstance and what's going on around me, and I see nothing to be thankful for. Friends, there are no easy answers here. But I do want to say, if we by faith take God at His word, in His word, friends, this is where God's gift of gratitude, even more, where God Himself invites us to meet Him and to cast ourselves upon Him and His mercy and His grace and His presence. You see, the miracle that we see in Scripture is that in Christ, gratitude is not just a response that we may have to positive things. Rather, gratitude is a possession, right? A rock solid possession, because it is a gift that cannot be taken from us. And by faith, it flows from an unquenchable source. And that source of gratitude, right, that cannot be taken away, it is our possession. My friends, it is the absolute truth of who God is and what is true of us because of who God is. I invite you to join with me. And if you don't have your Bible, I want you to pause the video, go get your Bible, and bring it back so that you have it here. And all these, I'm going to walk us through some scripture. And these are on the outlines. There's the PDF that you can download if you're watching the video from Trinity's website. So you can go back and look at these. But what I want us to do is look at several passages of scripture now that speak to what is true of us in Christ because of our faith in Christ, and why this is such a powerful source of gratitude, no matter what life may bring. And here's the challenge. Friends, this week, I encourage you, leading up to Thanksgiving, to go and read these passages yourselves. And as you do, to pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what God has done that we see in this scripture, what He has given you, the sources of gratitude that we see here that cannot be taken away. And the first one that I want us to look at is from Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading verses, it's an extended passage, but reading verses 3 through 14. So if you have your Bible, you can just read along as I read and see, listen to what God says to us here. And this is what we see again, starting in verse 3 of Colossians chapter 1. This is Paul writing to the church in Colossae, and he says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring up from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. Now, in the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit." And then verse 9, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." All right, guys, there's a lot there. And so just as an example of how it's just so powerful to really engage with Scripture on our own, let's just walk through this. And I want to share with you the things that I have seen here that I say by faith, man, if this is true, it is a source of hope, and it is a powerful source of gratitude. You know, Paul speaks here of the hope that we have that is stored up for us in eternity. The hope of eternity. This life is not all there is. It's so much there to think about and talk about. He speaks of the message of the gospel, just the simple truth of forgiveness. God inviting us into His life through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and our faith in Him. Just the gospel message, right? How often do we just sit down and think through, right, just the amazing gift that we have in the truth of Christ? Friends, that's a source of gratitude. Paul goes on and he mentions an understanding of God's grace. I can remember in my own story, having been a believer for many years, when someone opened my eyes, showed me the scripture that speaks about the message of God's grace, which is not just forgiveness, but beyond it, the so much more, the how much more of new life and the grace of God in Christ. Paul here mentions Epaphras, and I think of what I have, you know, I'm not thankful for Epaphras. I didn't know him. I'll meet him one day, as you will if you're a believer. But that reminds me to be thankful of all the people in my life who shared the gospel with me, who have encouraged me in my walk with Christ, who have shared the truth of Scripture with me. Paul speaks of the wisdom and understanding that we receive from the Spirit, right, as we seek God and open our hearts and minds for the Spirit to teach us. Right? I'm thankful for that. Paul speaks about how God desires and intends to work through us, to work through me and you, right? To bear fruit in our lives. Right? It's a source of gratitude. That's an amazing thing. Right? The ability to grow in our knowledge and experience of God. Right, it's so easy to take for granted the incredible resource that we have in this day-to-day to grow in our understanding and our access of Scripture, to grow in our knowledge and experience of God. Paul speaks of how God works to strengthen us so that we have the power of God in our life. And he goes on from there and speaks about the endurance and patience that God brings to us by his Spirit as we walk after him and walk with him in faith, as we walk by the Spirit. I mean, endurance and patience. My friends, that's a gift. There's the truth here we see, that God has qualified me and you by his grace through the cross to share in his inheritance, or to be a part of his family. Or this is saying that I am one of God's holy people, that God has set me apart to be a part of his family, of his work. Paul says that we have, by Christ, been rescued from darkness. Right? That we have been brought into the kingdom of his Son. You know, there's other scripture that speaks to that as well. That we are siblings of Christ. Right? That as Christ's inheritance is eternity, that we are co-heirs with Christ. Well, what a thought that is. Right? The reality that we have been redeemed. That God has purchased us as his own. And that in Christ, we are forever forgiven. Friends, these are all incredible truths. Truths that are experienced by faith. As we choose to believe that they are true, to live as if they are true. To live in the good of what is true of us in Christ. You know, on that thought, just consider this. And friends, this is really a key thing. Guys, it takes no faith for us to be overwhelmed by our circumstances. It only takes sight. It takes no faith to give in and to give up because of the very real, sometimes oppressive nature of what's going on in our lives. But it is by faith. It is by faith that God opens our eyes to see the power of his truth in and beyond our circumstances. All right, well, just another passage. This is out of 1 Corinthians, and if you have your Bible, you can turn there with me. But in 1 Corinthians, where am I here? Oh, I missed it. Chapter 15, verses 56 and 57. And this is what we read. Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to go on and read verse 58 as well. Therefore, this is Paul, of course. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Wow. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, what is in there? What do you see there that is a source of gratitude? Now, going to Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Listen to what Paul says here, what God says to us through Paul. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Friends, what do you see there that is a source, an unquenchable source of gratitude? And finally, let me turn to Hebrews. And this is in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. What a statement this is. And the writer of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Friends, what do we see there? When all the world around us is shaken, we have a source of life and of hope and gratitude that will not be shaken. I'm reminded of the old hymn, "How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for the saints in his excellent word." I'm not sure I 100% quoted that, but how firm a foundation is ours in Christ. Friends, this week, I say this to you, I say this to me, may we look honestly around us. Take our, if we need to, take our eyes off of ourselves and look around us and pray with an open heart for God to open our eyes so that we may see the incredible riches of his presence and the many, many reasons that we have to be thankful. Guys, may we choose gratitude. May we choose gratitude. And may we ask God to give us a perspective that we see in Colossians chapter 3. So I'm going to go back to Colossians here. We were read from Colossians 1. So now, in Colossians 3, and I'm going to start in verse 15. Where are we here? Nope, that's Colossians 2. Here we go. Yes. Colossians 3, starting in verse 15 and going through verse 17. Friends, this is a wonderful passage of Scripture to read and to paraphrase into a prayer to God, asking him to make this perspective ours, even in the midst of life as it really is right now. And we read, "So let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, we were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Church, now more than ever, may we be people of gratitude, because as we are, God will use that, as he promises to do, God will use our gratitude to change the way we think. And when he changes the way we think, the renewing of our minds, friends, it will change how we relate to people and enable us to see this world, those around us, with the hope, the peace, even the joy and the gratitude that only will come through the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ at work within us and opening our eyes. Let me just, I'm going to pray as we end, friends, but as I pray, and this is not in my notes, I'm being led by the Spirit right now, hopefully. Guys, somebody might be watching this right now that you just hear all of this, and it just sounds like a tin drum. It's hollow because you're really hurting right now. You're frustrated. Maybe you're more like I am. Right now, guys, I'm blessed. I've got struggles. We all do. But I have no reason to complain or to whine. And if I whine, somebody needs to slap me. But I get frustrated. I get frustrated. I find myself getting angry about things in these circumstances that we're in. And God needs to wake me up and open my eyes. But if you are in the place where it's dark, you know, to hear someone say to you, "Be thankful," it may almost sound insulting. But because Scripture calls us to it, my sincere and yet gentle word to you would be, where you are now, perhaps, as a sheer act of faith, would be to say, "Lord Jesus, I give thanks for you." Lord, I can't bring myself to give thanks for anything about life. But Lord, open my eyes that I may see cause to give thanks. Lord, by faith alone, I choose to thank you for whatever you're doing, however you're working, that I don't see right now, I don't understand right now. Lord, but I'm taking the step of faith to give thanks. Lord, help me to take the next step and the next step and the next step. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. I thank you for each person that is watching this. Lord, if there are believers, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, you are in them. Lord, and for those of us that are in Christ, Lord, we have an eternal, unquenchable, rock-solid foundation, possession of gratitude because of what is true of us in Christ, because what is true of you. Lord, may we see that. Lord, open the eyes of our heart that we may see and know that for which we need to give thanks. And Lord, may you use that to change our perspective, to take our eyes off of ourselves, wherever we may be. Lord, if somebody's watching this right now that doesn't know you, and maybe this sounds like a bunch of crazy talk, I don't know. But Lord, if just in their heart they just feel something, a tug, a yearning, that there is something there that you're leading them into, Lord, I pray that you would lead them just to the simple truth of your gospel, that they're a sinner and they're separated from you. But Lord, because of the death of your son, the sacrifice for their sin, Lord, that if they confess that you are, Lord, that Christ, that you are the Son of God, and that God raised you from the dead, and that you are Lord, Lord, by that sincere and yet simple confession of faith, they may enter into your life and receive your life as their life and take the first step of the journey of faith. Lord, I pray for that person, for however you're working in them, that you would open their eyes to see the hope of the gospel. And Lord, for the person that's watching this now, that sees no cause of gratitude, for whom life is so dark, Lord, I pray that they may be able to ask you, Lord, just to give them this one step of gratitude. If for nothing else, than that they're still breathing. And to take the next step to give thanks to you that you are with them. And even though they may not have any person around them now, Lord, spiritually, they are not alone. And Lord, one step at a time to raise their eyes from the position of being downcast, or to raise their eyes to you. Lord, I pray that you would guide them one step at a time, that they may become, that they may come to a place where they could quote Psalm 118 as their own, and that they may arrive at a place where they say, Lord, in the depths of my anguish, I cried out to you, and you answered by placing me in a large space where I could see. Lord, you answered by setting me free. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. And we love you. And it is in your name that we pray together. Amen and amen. Church, I love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving week. And I look forward to seeing you back right here next Sunday.